Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Mully and Hall, live and local, Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Dave Wannstedt, Bears head coach for 6 years.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Super Bowl champion.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah!
Great mustache.
Some say it's a symptom of manliness. Others a cause, the mustache.
Wani, hanging out with Mully and Haw.
Open up the door, it's Dave.
Who?
Dave, D-A-V-E.
Dustin, we're not going to waste airtime on that, okay?
Thank
next
you.
Question,
thank
next
you.
Question,
thank
next
you very
question.
Much.
Dave Wannstedt.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. It is always a delight to talk to Coach Wannstedt. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline. Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Morning, Dave.
Good morning, fellows. Yes, I'm doing good. I'll just say this. You can't get two wins unless you get one. So we're 1-0, right? That's the way we got to look at it.
You called it, Dave. I mean, you had Mitchell Trubisky as the guy. And got to tell you, when – they had managed 6 points heading into the fourth quarter. I was even questioning it myself. Even I, Dave, gave it a second thought. And yet he ended up having a great quarter and the Bears won the game.
Well, I'm sure no one will ever admit it, but I promise you when they were jogging it at halftime from Matt Nagy all the way through them, they were all having the same thoughts, you know, I hope this thing turns around. I mean, human nature, you know, and obviously it all worked out. And, you know, for Mitch and for the coaches and everybody. So on to the next one, you know, on to the Giants now. But, yeah, there was some doubt. There's no question about it. But I do think that there were a lot of positives with the Bears. And, you know, I mean, I love that they were using the two tight ends and obviously running the ball. They were balanced. I mean, that's all changed from where they were a year ago. You know, you saw a little bit of identity. And the only thing that I took away from it offensively is that you can't get behind the numbers. You can't get behind the chains with Mitch. In other words, what I mean is we've got to be productive on first and second down, because if it's third down and long and now the you know, they're coming after you, we got to throw it, and they can play a lot of different coverages. In my opinion, that's where Mitch is struggling right now. So make that third down manageable, and it's going to change the whole complexion of this offense.
So, Dave, let's go back to halftime. Let's go back to Matt Nagy's thought process. He's running off the field, and I'm sure that those thoughts are running through his head. I'm sure that he's got a lot of coaches in his ear, and there's a lot at stake. The Bears' offense stunk in the first half, and a lot had to do with the poor play at quarterback. From a head coach's perspective, what's that like at halftime, so early in the season, weighing whether to make a replacement, make a change that could change the course of the game and certainly the season, or stick with the guy who you said is your starter? How difficult do you think that was for Matt Nagy, and how difficult is that for any head coach?
I always looked at it this way. You know, were our mistakes self-imposed? In other words, did our quarterback throw three interceptions, and did we fumble the ball twice? You know, I mean, if that didn't happen, which it did not with the Bears, then it just comes down to execution and play selection. So I'm sure that Matt Nagy went in there and said, hey, these are the things that are working good. These things, guys, let's stay away from this the second half And I think the best, you know, what really is perfect, when the Bears fell behind, when the Lions came out the third quarter and scored, and would they make it a 17-point game, that was almost the best thing that could have happened, because the Lions had three starting corners out, right? They had two out before the game, and they lose another one. So they were playing. They had no choices. And this is what the reviewers and everybody was saying, oh, the coverage they're in. When you get in that situation, I've been there. I would call it cat coverage. Molly, you got that cat. David, you got that cat, and I'll take this cat. Okay? I mean, it's street ball. You know what I mean? And that's the simplest way to play defense. If you go out there and try to play zone, and you got to make a check from a two deep zone to a three deep zone, because of a motion on offense, and you got players like Detroit had in there that hadn't played much, that, you know, together and weren't as good, you're going to have big plays. So the best way to do it, and Matt Patricia did the right thing. You know, he played cover one. I call it cat coverage. Everybody's got a cat. Go cover your guy. And now you just hope that your guys are as good as them, or the quarterback's off. And Ben, or I mean Ben, God, I'm thinking of Ben from last night. I picked Ben as my comeback player. Anyway, Mitch, you know, he knows the coverage. It's cover one, and now he's capable of getting the ball to the correct person. So I think being behind really helped him, and that's what I talked about in my opening statement. If you got to, you know, if Mitch gets in long yardage and you have to huddle up and you're not in a no huddle and they can place five different coverages, that's where he has a little bit of a problem, in my opinion, right now.
This segment with Dave Wannstedt is presented by MailMedChicago.com, where a full head of hair is the winning play. And Dave, I got to tell you, despite the comeback, despite everything that happened, DeAndre Swift dropped a pass with 6 seconds left. It was the game-winning touchdown pass. I mean, it was remarkable to see a guy flat-out drop a ball when he's wide open somehow in the end zone at the end of a game. And I think that when we think about that in the context of how the Bears' defense played, I sure hope that it's more about them being out of shape or them needing the game than it is a sort of conclusion as to where they're going to be at defensively. I was hoping they'd be more 2018 than 2019, and I don't know what that was.
Yeah, no, that was probably a disappointment, and I was texting with Chucky Pagano after the game. Absolutely. Now, I was not sure how the Bears secondary was going to react, particularly with Johnson, a rookie, being in there. I was happy with the secondary. You know, obviously getting run, having the football run at you for 150 yards. But I talked to somebody this week, and an ex-player. And you know what he said to me? He says, if you haven't had any real live competition, the one running back that you don't want to have to tackle right off the bat is Adrian Peterson. You know what I mean? He is a big, powerful guy, you know, completely different than a Tariq Cohen, for example. And so I think the physicality, you know, that the lack of preseason games, I think, showed up a little bit on their defense, and they've got enough ability, obviously. We all know that. I thought that Roquan Smith played great. He looks like he's getting back to where he was. So I thought there were some real good individual efforts out there from a defensive standpoint, but as a unit, you know, they just weren't that sharp, obviously, and they didn't play physical enough. You can't get the ball run on you for 150 yards. That's a disaster.
Absolutely, Dave. And at linebacker, Danny Trevathan did not have a good opener. And in the offseason, the Bears had to make a choice between him and Kwiatkowski. And certainly they went with the veteran. They went with the guy who last year was as valuable as any defender. He's 30. He looked it on Sunday. Do you just chalk that up to maybe some rust and maybe just, as you said, the speed of the game and there's AP running at you? Or where's your confidence level with a guy like Trevathan?
Yeah, I wouldn't. He'll come back. I mean, as conscientious as Danny is and as hardworking, as long as he's healthy, which we all assume he is, he'll get back at it. I would just say it's just from, you know, the lack of full speed training camp and the OTAs and the mini camps and some guys it affects a little bit differently. You know, that's and I think he was a great example of that, particularly when you're coming off an injury like he was.
Were you surprised by the lack of pass rush? Is that down to Robert Quinn being out and other players suffering, you know, minor injuries coming back from it? Mac has a knee, apparently. They had one sack, but it was really, I don't know what Matthew Stafford was doing. He held the ball forever on that play.
Right. No, you know, I really went into this game thinking and knowing Stafford real well, you're not going to trick him and you're not going to get to him very often. You know, I think that with the Bears probably blitzed more than four guys, rushed more than four guys, maybe a half a dozen times, maybe a little bit more than that. Not much, but only for the fact that in a game against a good quarterback like that, you're going to have to get pressure with four and you're going to have to do a good job defending the pass. I mean, that's how you beat a guy like him. You give him one-on-one opportunities and he's going to find the open guy more times than not. So, yeah, I think I was hoping for a little bit more pressure. I'm going to be honest with you. I think it was steady pressure. You always want the sacks and the big negative plays, which really didn't come up. I think our expectations are so high for this defense, and rightfully so, that there was a little bit of disappointment there. I'm going to be honest with you.
Dave, you can find out what coaches want to emphasize early by what they do in the first half offensively, and the Bears ran 18 times and they passed 20. That's pretty good balance for a Matt Nagy offense. Are you buying the fact that he's serious about committing more to the running game this year, as the opener might have indicated?
Well, I am, for two reasons. One, and I think it was Mitch that said last week, you're going to find out about identity on the first play. So I'm sitting here saying, okay, I can't wait for this first play, you know. God forbid if it's a double reverse, you know, but so right.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going through about 500 different plays that I've run over the years in my mind, saying what's coming. And it was perfect. But here's why I think that they are committed to the running game. Number one, that if they would have run the ball all spread out all over the field, then I would have said, okay, is this just a token run to appease the fans and to tell everybody, see, we do have runs, a little bit like happened last year, I think. But no, when you get into two tight ends like they did and come up with blocking schemes, it takes a lot of time to put into that, and you got to practice that, and you got to be committed to that. So I'm going to go on a limb and say, you know what, they are committed to being balanced for whatever reason, and I think that by being balanced, that it gives Mitch the best chance to be successful with his play-action passes and his roll-out passes. That all fits into running the ball and being balanced and those high-percentage throws at the tight ends. You know, you got plenty of tight ends with talent on that team. I think he's going to use them. I think that's all part of his plan. I really do.
Giants coming in next, Dave. You just watched what happened with the Steelers game last night, and you saw them run into a brick wall, effectively. Saquon Barkley did not get much done. Does that change against the Bears? What are your feelings about the Giants coming in?
Well, you know what? I was impressed with the Giants. You know, I really was. I think that their defense, boy, they were getting after it early. They're a better defensive team, in my opinion, than the Lions are. I love Danny Dimes, I mean, their quarterback. God, Daniel Jones, I mean, this kid is, for a second-year player and a new offensive system, you know, Jason Garrett's up there now calling plays. I this guy's a player. I mean, you got to love everything about him. And, you know, the Steelers were number one in the NFL last year with taking the ball away. They led the whole NFL. They were top five defense. And you know, so they're capable, and they do it with a lot of pressure. I think the Bears will be able to pressure this young kid a lot more than they could pressure Matt Stafford at Detroit. So I think this is going to be a game where the guy up front, that defense is going to have to show up and really do a good job, because the Giants got good receivers. But, you know, Shepard, I think, is probably – he was their lead guy. You know, they're all good receivers. You don't play in this league. You know, I don't know if they've got a great receiver, to be quite honest with you. And like maybe Michael Jones. I don't think they have anybody in that caliber. So I think the matchups are going to be good for the Bears on, you know, covering and rushing this week. I would expect the defense to show up big time.
Great stuff, Dave. Thanks a ton. Great catching up with you.
Thanks, Dave.
Okay, good guys. Stuff. Anytime. Okay, bye-bye.
That's Dave Wannstedt. That's fascinating.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.